Well, thank you very, very much, Brian Lordy, for letting me come and talk to you. Could you just tell me, for the tape, your full name and date of birth, please?
Yes, it's Brian Claude Jarvis, 2737.
And I'm Audrey Helen Jarvis, and my date of birth is 1st of August, 1944.
Thanks very much. And I'm John Beckerson, and I'm with Brian and Audrey at their house in Pinner. In which county is it in?
Middlesex.
In Middlesex. Thank you. Well, I believe you went to the Isle of Man earlier in your life, had a few holidays there, and then later together. Could you just tell me, Brian, what's your earliest memory of the island and of coming to it, and what it was like?
There's going to be a lot of blanks here. My first time on the island was with a girlfriend. Because the girlfriend was related to Muffet and Ralph in Waldwick House, that's where we went. And they put us up there. Now, what can I remember of it? I can remember Ralph in the kitchen rushing around like a maniac, but always laughing, while Muffet went in and out with the plates of scrambled egg and bacon, etc., serving all the customers. I remember a huge toasting machine they had. It toasted 12 pieces of bread at a time, which I thought was amazing. What else?
Was it a small kitchen?
No, it was quite a reasonable sized kitchen. If I remember right, it was in the basement downstairs. What else? Ralph's hobby at that time was brewing his own beer, and he had hundreds of beer bottles full of his own brand of beer.
Was he good at it?
He swore blind by this stuff. I never tried it, but but he thought it was great. I remember one day we played a prank on him by putting Andrew's liver salts in his favourite mug and making his beer froth. He didn't like it initially, but he saw the funny side of it later. What else?
So it'd be quite a relaxed, easygoing type of holiday.
Yes. Well, you've met Muffet. I mean, you know Muffet, so you know that it's just a laugh a minute.
Were they like that with everybody?
Oh, they were like that with everybody. No, they were a funny couple. We used to go off to. Now I can't remember the pub. I remember the name of the guy that ran it. He was called Walter. And I think his wife was. Now I told you this morning, his wife was very similar to the woman in The Larkins, Mrs. Larkin, and Walter was big and bubbly, and he was a laugh a minute, and I remember Ralph used to sort of go and pinch pot plants and generally muck about, and he used to go behind the bar, and Arthur used to come out and sit down, you know, and Arthur and Ralph would be serving, and Arthur the publican would be sitting down, you know,
Walter,
go back and do it again. Yeah.
Was that in Peel?
I can't remember where the pub was.
So tell me how you initially came to the island, and had you ever been anywhere near it before, or was it
no.
your girlfriend had Mike's connection?
Yeah, she had. Well, she was related to Muffet, and then we met other people over there related. Roger.
How did you make the journey? Did you go by car?
No, we flew.
Right.
We flew.
Did you always fly?
Yeah, I've never been on the boat. Never been on the boat. I've been there a few times, but I've never been on the boat. Always flown. One memorable thing I remember, probably shouldn't say this, but in Peel there's a kipper factory. You know the kipper factory, which closed down how long ago?
Closed and then it got going again.
Oh, it's got going again. Oh, well, it was when it was closed. And I remember that Muffet had, his name was John, Lad John, and he had his car, and he hadn't had it very long. And we'd hired a car, and I remember driving around the kipper factory, because it was a lot of open space and buildings and things. And, you know, why we never killed ourselves, I don't know. But we were driving round and round this place. It was great fun.
So it's interesting to hear that you flew and you had a hire car.
Yeah.
Both quite sort of modern things. Mm. What was the year, do you recall, or how old were you?
Oh, blimey. Audrey, help. What was the years?
Well, we wrote it in the letter, didn't we?
Mm.
We need the letter to prompt us on this.
Yeah. Right, we've concocted the date. I mean, we've come across the dates. Right, early 60s. That was when we started. 1969, 1973, 1974, and 1981.
That was with you,
wasn't it? Yeah.
And
my brother.
So in the early 60s, coming to the Isle of Man, how did it compare to back home in London?
Oh, no comparison. One of the things I do remember, or you remember it, and that was the silence going into the hills and just stopping the car and being absolutely amazed at the silence.
Whispered.
Yeah, and everybody got out the car and whispered. Strange, but no, it's a lovely island. I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Mm. So you'd come over, and did you find like the flying and things that was that expensive? Did you fly from Heathrow?
Yes, we did.
Heathrow to Rome.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
isn't another one.
And would that have been? I mean, had you flown before, or what
was the experience like? For as far as I know, quite normal. Except, where was the one that we, the funny one? Where?
That was later on.
We were on this way back to London, wasn't it?
Coming back in one of our later trips. Yeah, we had a,
oh, it was wonderful.
They couldn't get the
other thing. Hang on a second. So we're all waiting to take, well, to get onto the plane, yes, and I'm looking out of the window at the air, right, yeah, and I can see this guy, they got like a gantry thing up under the wing, and there's two mechanics, presumably, in white coats. One of them's bending down underneath the under the pod on the air on the engine, I think, and the other one's undoing. So suddenly, this section drops off onto this bloke's back, and he staggers down the steps, aided by the other guy. And I turned to you, didn't I, and your parents, and I said, "We're going to be late because there was only one aircraft there, so that was it. That's what we're going to go on." And sure enough, they gave out this announcement and said there's going to be a delay, and I said, "Yeah, I know why." And we sort of waited, and sure enough, this bloke came out again, staggering with this thing on his back, and literally he was like this, and he's heaved it up under the thing, and he bolted it back on. And I said, right, we're okay, you know, half an hour later. And we all boarded. And the great thing was, knowing that something had gone wrong, you know, Ronald's way, you go straight out over the sea, don't you? They can't land the damn thing, you go in the drink. Anyway, this thing took off, and instead of the pilot saying, you know, what he started by saying was, we've got a problem. Well, because we could hear the undercarriage going up and down. You know, every minute or so, the undercarriage went up, and then it went down again, then it went up, then it went down. You know, and after a few minutes of this, and suddenly came on, he said, we have a problem. And everybody, you could see the knuckles all going white on the aisle, you know. I thought they were going to go into the sea. But what had happened was that the undercarriage wouldn't go up, it wouldn't lock. So they flew to London with the undercarriage down.
They couldn't risk it.
Yeah.
To be sure they could land, and got to Heathrow.
And they had to keep it slow because you could actually, if they picked up speed, you actually hear the thing vibrating.
So we had to fly low. So we couldn't avoid all the clouds.
I do remember going back to the previous times with the ex-girlfriend. She had a old lady. I don't know what the relationship was. Muffet would probably know. And we went to see her, and she'd flown for the first time, and she was going on that she wanted to put her feet out in the clouds or something. Or she wanted, you know, this is what her thing was. She wanted to, you know, she couldn't believe it, you know, quite elderly.
Yeah. And coming from London, it was fairly unusual, so, I mean, you know, pardon me for saying London, you know, the London area. Fairly unusual to go to the Isle of Man. Did you know anyone else who'd been, or was it only through this connection?
It wasn't unusual for us because this girlfriend, their parents lived at the bottom of our garden. We didn't have ferries. We had. That's how I got to know this girl. My father used to know them very well. They used to play rummy together, the two families, in each other's houses, and that's how we got to know each other. And they, of course, had relations over there. So it was mentioned, and we knew about it, you know. Just cheating a bit, I suppose. But
where would your mates go on holiday in that period in the 60s, just out of interest? Can you recall? And where would you go at other times?
It tended to be England, or really. I mean, I used to go down to the south coast quite a bit.
You sailed, didn't you? sailing.
Yeah, yeah, I had a sailing boat, and I used to sail sometimes in the Thames, but mainly, well, pool.
The Dorset Coast.
Yeah.
People didn't go abroad much then.
No, people didn't tend to. No.
When did you take your first holiday abroad?
God, blimey, it's South of France, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, then you went on business a couple of times.
Oh yeah, I've been on business to Norway and.
Yeah, we went to the South of France when we were first together, about 1969.
Yeah.
68, 69.
Interesting. Yeah. So just going back to the Isle of Man, what else can you remember about that first trip? What was it like as you came into land and your impressions of the island when you first got off? How did you, what were your initial thoughts and feelings?
My initial thought was, landing, was how small the airport was. You know, one building and that was it, you know, or was it two? I don't know, but you know, yeah, that's what amazed me. You know, after leaving Heathrow or somewhere like that, you know, it's just unbelievable. It was nice because it was so different, so quiet.
I think on the roads as well, I mean, even when we went, there was so little traffic.
And that's right.
You had to get another car, and you're just like, God, you know what it's like here.
I'll tell you one of the things I liked about the island, and I don't know if it's the same now. And that is that it appeared that Douglas contained all the commercial side of it, and they had not allowed the commercialisation of all the little ports and that. That's what made it. And I don't know whether they're still holding to that, but I think they should, because that's what makes it different.
And so coming into Peel, what were the things you liked about Peel?
Well, the things I liked about Peel were the castle, the estuary. Yeah, the sunsets, yeah. I've got some lovely photographs of Peel sunsets. I've got one with a guy fishing with the sun setting behind him, right out on the end, you know, where the lighthouse is. Literally, the sun setting behind him, and he's coming out in a silhouette with his fishing rod.
And were there any things that absolutely horrified you about sort of Peel or the island or the guest house that you thought, oh my goodness, this is...
No, I don't think there was, no.
The other thing you mentioned about the guest house was because it was a prisoner of war.
Oh, yes.
Area,
yes, that fascinated me. Yes, because they apparently during the war it was partitioned off. And in Waldeck House they had a painting on the wall which one of the German prisoners had done, and also the swastikas carved into the mantelpiece and all sorts of things. I don't know whether it's still there, but
they left it at that
time. And they left it, yeah. I don't know whether they I mean, it really should be left, I think. Bit of history.
Did you find it like modern, old-fashioned, about what you were used to at home? What did you feel regarding that?
It was more or less the same. It's difficult to remember. I mean, I just enjoyed it. It was great. I think the food was great. No, it was during the summer, though there was one winter we went there.
You said you went there on Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah, so I can remember being there at Christmas and playing table tennis and that. I can remember Ralph wallpapering the landing, and I was absolutely amazed because one roll of wallpaper did one drop.
Oh, down the stairwell?
Down the stairwell, which was... Why he didn't kill himself, I don't know, because that was a hell of a drop down there. They did it apparently with planks stung across the openings. Yeah.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
So you're coming over, I mean, and pardon me for asking, but I mean, when you're coming over with like a girlfriend at the time, I mean, you hear different stories, and some landladies were very strict and kept people apart, and others didn't mind. Do you recall what it was like regarding that sort of state of affairs?
Yes, well, they. I mean, well, I think Muffet, being part of the family, would obviously not allow any goings on. So we were in separate rooms. We might have been in separate floors. I can't remember. But there's no.
Yeah. She was trying to control.
Yeah, she was trying to control. Yes, I think she was. Yeah.
So she wanted to keep her house respectable.
Yes, I think so, yeah. But she wasn't, how shall I put it, she was a very...
liberated person.
Yeah, she was a liberated person and a very fun-loving person. and that came out all the time, you know. In fact, I can remember once that I think we were having races, see who could make it to the castle and back, because you know where Wildwick House is, it's the last one on the prom, isn't it? And we were literally running right the way round to the castle and back again and timing it. And she was doing the washing up. And when she came out, you know, she was quite upset because she wasn't sort of invited and, you know. So that was the sort of person she was. She was great.
And can you remember the routine at the guest house, you know, for sort of meals and things? Did you have to be at meals at a certain time? Was it quite strict?
No, it wasn't strict. I think there was there was obviously a time, you know, it was a normal thing, you know, there was a half hour or an hour's grace when, because otherwise it would make life impossible to do all this cooking.
And the food itself, was that like what you'd have at home, or was it different?
Yeah, I think it was, some of it was better. I don't know if it's just because we're on holiday, but no complaints from what I can remember.
That's interesting. Audrey, can you tell me about when you first visited the island and what that was like for you?
I don't remember a lot about the guest house. I remember where it was. I don't remember a lot about the sort of workings of it. I think I remember it later on, really, when we took the children over and took my parents over. Are we not working? Okay? So I suppose I remember that. And I remember we went to the printing works. Was that when I was with you then, wasn't I?
Oh, yes. Do you remember there was a printing works in Peel?
Oh, we lost the mic.
Fred Palmer's, you'll probably pick up, you get the... you went and saw the old Peel City Guardian works.
Yeah, and I've actually got photographs of the guy that ran it, you know, 2¼ Square.
Mr. Palmer.
Yeah, and I understand that's all gone now.
Yeah, the press is... just the carcass of it survives because it's too big to remove.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, I've got photographs of him and all the typesetting...
I think the museum would be most interested in a copy of those.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because the Peel City Guardian in that old format is gone, and I don't think there's any one photo. I don't think there's any photos of it, if I know.
I've got some really beauties.
I'll talk to you afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you do a bit of sightseeing. What sort of?
Yeah, I think I thought that probably the island was about 10 year behind maybe what was happening here. You know, I mean the shops were.
Well, that's what made it nice.
Well, that's what made it so nice. Mm. You know, the old sort of haberdashers sort of shops in round the back of Peel and that you don't get over here
sorry
anymore.
Sorry to interrupt, but I must tell you about the Lexi Wheel sometime, but carry on, because that really did impress me. Right, okay.
Right,
yeah. Yes. So you felt the Isle of Man, you were in the 60s and the island was in the 50s.
I think so. Well, this is probably later on when we went in the sort of, the 70s and 80s.
And it was still in the 50s.
And it hadn't sort of caught up, yes. But I mean, it was beautiful. And I mean, I remember the children playing up on the banks all round Peel Castle and picnicking and taking food up there and things like that. It was nice. And,
were you coming with children yourself at that time, or had you not got any?
Yes, no, that is coming with ours. And we took my parents over. In fact, they flew for the first time, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Over to the Isle of Man. Yeah. And we stayed with Muffet and Ralph. I remember us all trudging up Peel Hill because Brian had his camera. Because he had all these different accessories and bits, and I remember this big case, like that, a bit bigger, and I remember lugging this thing up and following you up Peel Hill, and you sort of with your photos.
We probably have a photograph of it. What we do have, and I don't know whether it's still in the museum, and that is a panoramic view of Peel, taken God knows when ago, which I literally put the camera on a tripod and panned it round, you know the principle, and it must have been six or more photographs which I then fastened together, and I presented that to Muffet, and she used to have it
in her hall.
That's right,
she's still in her house.
And I did one in colour, same.
Was that the one? Didn't Roger take that to the?
I don't know. I understand that Roger took one to the museum. So I don't know.
Because when we were doing when we were doing the project on the Lexi Wheel, we literally went from where they'd set up the initial markers on the hills.
That's right, yeah.
The sightings on the hills.
Tell me about the Lexi Wheel project, that sounds amazing.
Well, I think I'd heard about the Lexi Wheel. I'd heard about the Lexi Wheel, but hadn't taken much notice of it. And of course, when we went over there, and you know, I thought, well, we've got to go and see this. I was absolutely amazed. I fell in love with the thing, because it was mechanical, but it was also artistic. You know how they used to make things. I mean, it just wasn't a machine. Somebody made this with some love, and that's what I liked about it. And I was so impressed with it, I decided I was going to make something of this. And so I photographed not only the wheel and the workings of it, I photographed it. But then, you can't get there now, but then you could actually walk up the works, you know, where the track went, you know, where it led up to the mine head. So I was able to photograph that and some of the, you know, all sorts of bits I photographed. There is even some parts of the wheel still lying on the side, all are going rusty.
But it wasn't working then, was it?
It wasn't working then, no. That's right. So I photographed all those. And one of the things that scared the life out of me, I went to the museum because of the cup that was presented to the owner of the mine. Yeah? And I thought, I wonder if this thing still exists. And of course I went to the museum and there it was, you know. And the person unlocked the cabinet. I told them what I wanted to do, and they unlocked the cabinet and handed it me, you know. And I said, no, you know, I don't really want to touch it, just in case. God forbid I drop the thing, you know. But I was most impressed with this, you know, and I was able to photograph it and put all these things together. And I came back, we did diagrams, didn't we, of you know, the actually what was happening underground and how this was actually working and how the guys sort of literally leapt across onto this device that was going up and down and went up from level to level. It was just like a ladder, a wooden ladder arrangement, and they literally had to leap onto it as it went down, and then it took them up and they leapt off, and then it went down again and they leapt onto it again. I mean, oh, doesn't bear thinking about.
So did you deposit your photos and papers in the museum? Would they know about it?
No, I don't think they know about it, no. What I did it for, I came back and we did maps and all sorts of things, and I gave a lecture to my photographic club. A slideshow to the photographic club on what it was and why it was and how it was used.
You'd be interested to hear that they've discovered the underground plans of all the Laxey mines now.
Really?
They were found in the mines inspectorate at Bristol. They were having a clear out, so they're now all on the Isle of Man.
Oh, wonderful.
Underground levels.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. Oh, I shall have to come over and photograph that.
So for you, some of the holidays, it would be looking at, you know, finding out about the island and the history.
Yes,
and
that's what we did, yeah. I mean, literally, as Audrey said, we went up, because when they actually built the wheel, you probably know this, they had to have sighting marks from all round the valley. We actually went and found those, and they still exist, you know, these little tripod marks hacked into a stone somewhere, you know. I can't remember.
You the history on the wheel. I seem to remember we went trudging up all these back streets trying to find this guy in his bungalow somewhere. Anyway, but it was fascinating. Wasn't
yeah, it?
It
was. It was. It was great.
Staying around and doing nothing sort of holiday.
No.
Was that the general pattern of your holidays? You'd like to be out and doing things.
That was a particular, I mean, that time that we went to do the we didn't go to do the Laxey wheel, but it just turned into that.
I thought we were doing a lot of photography then.
That was the interest. Time. But other times, my brother came over with us, and he brought his sailing dinghy, and we used to sail from Peel Beach, and generally sort of relax, you know.
Can you remember what your rooms in Waldeck House would have been like, and what they looked like, and what their general sort of appearance and feel was like? I know it's a long time ago, but
The walls weren't too even. I can't really remember. I mean, it was exactly what you would expect, that it was a very old building, and it was showing its age. Not that it was decorated fine, but old buildings move. And, you know, it was like that.
So your impression would have been of a sort of a well-cared-for but quite old...
Yes, yeah.
I think I felt that about Peel generally, actually.
Yes, I think the whole ethos of the island was going back in time, but that was nice. That was what was made it so wonderful. Mm.
I think the last time we went to the island, I began to feel... some bits were looking a bit sad, almost. Do you remember that, Brian?
Not really, no.
No, I remember thinking,
I wondered if there were just less tourists going there, or whether the islanders were moving away more. It seemed to be more empty, sort of empty buildings, and perhaps being slightly more derelict. I don't know if that's still... Has it happened over there?
No, it's flourishing again.
It's picking up. Was there a time? Was
finance, but you're remembering that time
when 70s.
It was in a trough. Tell me more about that. What were your impressions and what you saw? And
it was more. It was like it was going through Peel itself, through where the shops and the little side streets, and thinking that the houses, a lot of them needed painting. A lot of them were just looking in disrepair. And some of them empty and sort of boarded up. And I remember thinking it was like a dying town almost, or little bits of it. And that was it was sad.
And what about, did you experience anything of Douglas?
We didn't ever go to Douglas, I don't think.
Douglas didn't attract us. I think we went to Douglas if we wanted to buy something, but I think that's as far as it went.
We used to go round the coast more, didn't we? We'd go to Castletown or, was there one called something Helen? Remember?
Glen Helen,
because my name was Helen and I went with Glen Helen and Castletown on the steam railway.
Oh yes, of course.
Oh, and up to Snae Fell. Oh, that had to be done because we're steam enthusiasts, so we'd sit up going backwards and forwards on the steam railway a few times and wander around with the sheep. And
what I was going to say to you, the girlfriend that I mentioned, yeah, is actually living on the island and will probably remember a damn sight more than I. So if you want to look her up, her name is Jennifer, it's either Jennifer Hardman or Jennifer Smith, right? And she's either in Laxey area or Onken. I don't know which. So if you want to look her up, I'm sure she'd be very delighted to tell you a hell of a lot more than I can tell you.
So when was the last time that you actually stayed in lodgings as opposed to Muffet and Ralph's
We haven't. Home? I don't think we have we? What? I mean, we stayed in. We've only ever stayed in Waldick House and Muffet's bungalow.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we stayed in Waldick was it must have been just shortly before it closed, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Which I don't know when. I mean, we put down it was in the early 60s, so I don't know what year Muffet moved.
Unless it's a new people, because she moved out.
Yeah.
As and when Muffet moved, then that was the last time we'd have been there.
Yeah.
And we stayed with them two or three times, didn't we, in the bungalow?
Yeah.
Was that purely because you knew them, or did you look at some of the hotels and think, not sure?
No, not so. We didn't look at any hotels, no. No, there's nothing there. Yeah.
We stayed with them. Didn't we stay with Roger and Heather as well? The hotel?
Oh, yes, we did, yeah, yes.
Daughter and son?
Yeah.
And having been abroad and experienced some of that, later on, as you were coming with, how did you feel about the Isle of Man once you'd had the chance to go on holidays to France and things like that? What were your impressions? Did it change your thoughts?
A different kind of holiday, a totally different kind. I mean, If I go away somewhere hot, I like water and leaping into warm water and all that, and the south of France, and we've been to Corsica. And that kind of holiday is totally different. If you go to the Isle of Man, don't expect to get wonderful weather all the time. It varies, obviously. You don't go there for that. But you certainly go there, I think, for the quietness and the scenery. The fact that people speak English. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, we alternated, didn't we? I mean, some of the times we went back to the island was way after we'd been abroad. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah.
In fact, I think we did the sort of the holidays abroad, and then thought that's enough of that for a while, especially when you got the children. Mm. In this country and in the Isle of Man, I'd like to go back actually.
Mm. Yeah. Years. Funnily enough, we've got the slides out, and Audrey's parents are coming tomorrow. And I said to both, sort of more or less got there at the same time. We said, "What about getting the slides out? Give them a slideshow," because unfortunately Audrey's father's not very well, and it'd be nice to
remember.
Yeah, to remember. Yeah.
Perhaps we could have a look at them now.
Well, all of them.
Some of the ones that you.
The trouble is, we got so many in there, and I just heaved out just a very small.